Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
You're watching a miracle today. Just in case you don't know, you are watching a miracle. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to rupture an Achilles. But this is the first time I've been out of my boot and preaching since February. Oh. Good to clap now. I might be lying horizontal in a few hours going, oh my gosh. Thanks for your praying. If you ever get the option to rupture your Achilles, don't. Just turn it down. Say thank you. Thank you. I'll give that one a pass because it will take a long time to recover. But look, I'm on 2 feet mostly. And God is good. Yes? All the time. Listen, we're going to come to this word. And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be building from where David preached last week. Who was here last week? You've got the advantage. I hope you stayed awake. I hope you listened. If you weren't here, I hope you've heard it on podcast because it's a great foundation. And I'm not going to repeat all of it. But last week was Pentecost Sunday. Yes? Which means that today is Pentecost Sunday, Mark 2. Because we live in Pentecost, right? We live in the aftermath of the coming of the Holy Spirit in such a way that the church was birthed. So we are not like, oh, we've done Pentecost. Holy Spirit, thank you. You've had your work. You've had your moment. Now let's crack on. But we live with the Holy Spirit in us and flowing through us. So we are going to look at the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. And you'll remember David titled this, Overflow, There Is Always More. And I want to assure you today, there is more of the Holy Spirit than any of us have experienced to date. Even the most super spiritual people who have been around the world with Jesus have not experienced everything of the Holy Spirit that there is to experience. There is more. And we're going to experience some of that more today. And we're going to look at power. And we're going to look at power that is available to us. So just a few verses to recap so that you can get your minds where my mind has been journeying this week. And you will remember from Acts, written by Luke, as read by David last week. I'm going to just catch you up. So from Acts 1, a few verses, 6 to 8 is all I'm going to read. They will appear on the screen. So Jesus was having to correct the disciples, bless him, immediately after his resurrection because they were still not quite sure what he was really expecting of them and what they could expect of him. So Jesus was bringing a correction to them and they were basically asking about what's going to happen. Who always wants to know the future? Oh my gosh, when am I going to be able to walk? This is my favorite question of the moment. I'm still getting the same answer, much like the disciples. So here we go, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But, everyone say but. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and, everyone say and. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, you've got to love a couple of conjunctives thrown into a passage. There are so many times we approach the Lord and say, just tell me this. Just tell me this. When is this going to happen? What is the time of this? When am I going to get this relationship? When am I going to get this job? When am I going to get this situation solved? When am I going to get, when are you going to fix this, Lord? When are you going to come again and meet my agenda? When? And the Lord said, okay, that's not for you to know. Thanks for asking, but I'm not going to answer that question. And then he brings in the best conjunctive, but. So you can't have this, but let me tell you something you can have. You can have power. I can fly. I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. I have power. Except we stop there. We stop at that point as if it's a full stop, sit down, thank you very much, I'll just take the power. Whereas Jesus says, the next conjunctive, look at me going all grammatical on you. It's because I'm an author, you know. We're the good editor. The next conjunctive comes in, and you'll have power, and. This and is probably the most important and in this whole thing of understanding the purpose of the Holy Spirit and what happened at Pentecost. We have to look at the and because he says, and you will be my witnesses. So I can't tell you that, but you can have power, and then you will be my witnesses. Now, this is important because he wasn't inviting them to sign up to theological college. He wasn't saying, now you've got to go and learn to be a rabbi. He wasn't saying, now you've got to go and learn and you've got to be able to take certificate, educational proof, and all the rest of these complicated things in order to show that you're a Christian. He just said, and you will be my witnesses. And do we know what a witness does? They say what they see, or they say what they hear. That's all. They say what they see, and they say what they hear. The job of a witness is simple. Say what you see. Don't exaggerate it. Don't play it down. Don't twist it to look like something you saw in a movie. Just say what you see, or say what you hear. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples was going to happen. They were going to have this encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to come on them. They were going to know a power that they'd not had known before in order to be a witness, in order to go. So then we can jump into Acts 2. You'll remember this. This is when the Holy Spirit actually came. I'll just whiz through a few verses. Chapter 2, 1 to 6. If you're new here, every now and then I do slow down. But you might want to listen back on a slow speed. Just as there's a lot to say in a short amount of time. And we listen to films and they normally speak fast. So, okay, Acts 2, 1 to 6. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Oh, look, here we are. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Remember, they were used to following smoke and flames. They were used to seeing these sort of things from the Israelite history. So this was something profound coming on them there and then. And everyone, verse 4, present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Everyone began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Verse 5, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem, because they'd come together, remember, for Pentecost. They were in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Their own languages. The Holy Spirit came in power. And the first sign of the Holy Spirit's presence was that the people who were gathered were able to speak in a language that was understood by the people who had not yet gathered. They began to speak in the vernacular of those people. They began to speak in a language. They didn't speak Christianese. They didn't speak churchy jargon. They didn't speak in-house. They spoke in a language that was understood by people who weren't of the house yet. The Holy Spirit takes away our jargon and enables our bridges of our vocabulary to be built into our community in a way that is understood. It's okay if a Christian goes in it for the people who understand what in it means. And it's okay for somebody to say, well, that'll do very nicely. If somebody who's listening would understand, well, that is very nicely. If we can speak in the language that is understood by the people to whom we are speaking, to whom they are hearing when the Holy Spirit comes on us. Are you understanding where we're going today, family? Power came that they could speak in the language that was understood. Now, I don't believe I'm suddenly going to get the gift of speaking in French.
Hello, a little petit peu.
I don't think I'm going to get that gift. Why? Because I don't think there's many French-speaking people that I'm going to bump into today. They can all bump into Lucia, or they can all bump into Rosie. We're sorted. But will I get the gift of speaking to a Watfordian? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Okay, we are going to whiz through a little bit of a story that shows what happened after this. This is a great story. I'm going to get some helpers to read. We're going to have this story, and we're going to see what happened when the Holy Spirit came. I'm walking. Look at me walking.
Acts 3, 1 to 12. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd.
Brilliant. Thank you, Angela. I love this passage. One, because there was an instant strengthening of an ankle, which is just, you know, really quite marvellous. But Peter had just been filled with the Holy Spirit. And as he and John are walking, they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. They were going out as witnesses to say what they saw. And they saw this man begging. I find it fascinating on loads of counts. One, the gate that he was put at. He was put at a gate where he was just begging. There were other gates associated with healing. He wasn't looking for healing. He was looking for money. He was just looking to be sustained in this place of need. He wasn't even looking up. He was just sitting there begging, looking down, waiting for something to come into his lap. And Peter and John saw him and they were observant. And Peter was looking intently at the man and he wasn't looking up. He said, "Look at us. Oh, there's people here. Yes, that's whom you're begging from." And Peter was called to be a witness. So he just had to say what he saw. So he's looking at this man and the man is looking at him saying, "Help me, help me." And he said, "Well, I don't have anything to give you. But let me tell you what I do have. Let me tell you who I do know. Let me tell you who I have journeyed with. Let me tell you who actually could meet not just your need for provision today, but the needs that you don't even know that you have for healing." You know, many of the people that we're going to be speaking to on Fun on the Fields, many of the people that you go to work with, maybe even who you live with or in your neighborhood, they don't even know their need. They don't even know their need. They don't even know that there is healing of their whole heart available to them. They just think they are begging for whatever they're begging for. That they think they have needs that they know of, but they don't know what they really have. And Peter saw, and so he, "Let me tell you what I know. Well, let me tell you who I know." And then this man is instantly healed, leaps up, his world is transformed, and he then becomes a witness. He then has got a story to tell. And just by the very way that he's walking and a leaping, other people are going, "Oh my gosh, isn't that the man who was sat over there? And who's been sat there for years? The man we normally ignore, and now he's leaping." And then a crowd gathered round because they had heard rumors that before that were now being made visible because Peter had just said what he saw. And this is the fantastic thing about being a witness, is Peter saw the opportunity of the man, had compassion on him and reached out to him. But then the crowd gathered and Peter saw the opportunity to speak to the crowd. So he began to address the crowd. I'm coming to my next reader. Okay, it'll come up on the screen as well.
Acts 4, 1 to 8. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them and, since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them,
dot, dot, dot. Okay, so I don't want us to focus so much on what Jesus or what Peter said, because the point is he said something. The point is he saw an opportunity of the people gathered and they asked him about the power and he spoke according to how the Holy Spirit gifted him with words that the Holy Spirit gave. If we get hung up today on the what and the minutiae, then we can think that that is how we're meant to speak. And this is what we're meant to say, and we'll be able to give all these arguments in the way that Peter gave them. But the truth is, we're meant to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us so that we can speak to the people to whom are in front of us in the language that they will understand. That's why we're stopping the scripture right before he speaks, the amazing words that he speaks. You can look it up in your own time. Peter, the one who had chopped off the ear. Peter, the one who had run away from Jesus. Peter, the one that had denied Jesus. Peter, the one who had made loads of mistakes, and the gospel writers all kindly recorded them for him. Peter, the one who wasn't always confident. Peter, the one who was ballsy and brash, but also broken and fragile and made mistakes. This is Peter, that the Holy Spirit anointed to speak with power. So if there's anybody who feels like you've messed it up before, that you're sometimes inadequate, that you sometimes overreact, that you sometimes run away, that you sometimes deny Jesus, that you sometimes let him down, then the power of the Holy Spirit is enough. Because he was enough for Peter. He's enough for us. Now, one of the things that Peter had in his background, you know, when you've read stuff and you've journeyed stuff with Jesus, you in the back of your mind go, oh, I think I know something about this. Well, he would have known that Jesus would have told him. This was recorded in Matthew's gospel. Jesus said this to his disciples. This would have been a cheery day, I think, when this message came over. When you were arrested, not, okay, guys, if you get arrested, but this is when you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time, for it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Church, it's time we got arrested. There's a quote. It's time we got arrested. I am not talking about rushing you out of here and ushering you into some life of criminality just to be able to have a prison experience. Please do not get locked up. We will come and visit you if you do, but please do not do this. Pastoral visits and all. It is not about being arrested because we break the law of the land. It is about being arrested by the purposes of the King of all kings. It is about being arrested by him in order that when we're positioned in our workplaces, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, we will recognize that we've been arrested and put there for a reason, that there's an opportunity and a reason we live where we live, that we live with who we live, and that we work with who we with. We are arrested into our purposes with Christ. And you see, when we understand that we can be arrested by the Holy Spirit and positioned, we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to then be a witness. And why? Because the Holy Spirit can breathe and speak through us if we will stop filtering him out by fear, by inadequacy, by our history, by politeness. If you don't know, I'm just going to pick on you, Christian. Sorry, it's just an opportunity while you're sitting here. If you don't know Christian, you need to speak to Christian. And Lisa, they're a great couple. You should ask Christian about train journeying. I don't know if I'd ever go on a train journey with Christian, if I'm honest. Do you want to give a 30-second testimony? Come on, live ready. Live ready. You're going to come to Wellspring. This is either the Holy Spirit or a big mistake, me picking on you now. Just say what you do on a train.
Well, in 30 seconds, I take my carriage ride into London and back, and I give it to the Lord, and I talk to people about Jesus. Now, just in case you think that's because I'm an American and that's the way we do things, it's not. It's very uncomfortable. I'm screaming in my head just before I look up at someone. I go, "May I speak with you?" And they immediately laugh because they're British and say, "You're not supposed to do this on the train." So I know, but will you just talk to me? And then I tell them a story about my life and how Jesus has been in it, and then I talk to them about Christ, and it's kind of a magical experience. So far, everybody's been very attentive, and I don't know how the seeds have grown since they've been planted, but it's feeling the Holy Spirit in me in that moment makes me feel more alive than I ever have before. It's incredible.
Fantastic. Isn't it? Come on. the best story, the best story that he said to me, I'm just going to tell the worst story now, was when he said, can I speak to you about Jesus? And the person was like, well, I guess so. And so they're talking for this half an hour journey. And at the end of it, he said, I thought you wanted to talk about cheeses. I just love that. The thing about this is Christian is being arrested on the train. He is being arrested for the purposes of Christ when he goes onto the train. And he's seeing an opportunity. And everyone else is able to eavesdrop. Everyone else. So there's people who have chased him down when he's got off the train saying, oh my gosh, I heard what you said to that person. That was amazing. We need to be arrested, positioned, so that we will allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. That we will say what can be said. Let's come to the final thing. So this story went, you know, Jesus was speaking through them, the Holy Spirit was speaking through them, and this crowd gathered, and then they got arrested, and then they were kind of in this arrested season. And Tisha's going to finish it off for us.
Acts chapter 4, verses 16 to 24. What should we do with these men, they asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God.
Brilliant, thank you. So this is just a great story. This story gets better and better. And one thing we need to understand about Acts, it's not necessarily like in 24 chronological hours type period. It is an overview of something that's going on that's much bigger. But here we've got, okay, so they're arrested. They're sharing their faith. The authorities are scratching their heads thinking, oh my gosh, we don't know what to do with them. We'll have to send them away. Let's tell them not to talk. And they're going, well, how can we not talk? Because the power is in them so much. How can they not speak? But this is one of the good things, church. This is a good thing that they do. They immediately leave the place of arrest and go back to the other gathered believers and tell the gathered believers. And they don't start with, oh, you'll never believe, because of course they'll believe it. Everything is crazy. They're going back and saying, this is what happened. This is the healing that happened. We then got arrested and we got to share our faith with all these people and we got to tell them about this and they couldn't do anything with us. They didn't know how to punish us. This is what then we got freed. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it all poured out. You know, family, we need to tell each other what God has done in us. Because the power of testimony that we give builds up the rest of the body. Let me tell you something about the body of Christ. It's very similar to the human body. That's why it's called a body thing. So just in case I haven't mentioned, I ruptured my Achilles. So I have to do physiotherapy and hydrotherapy to try and get strength back. We're not even into the stretching things for our physio friends. We're not even stretching yet. We're just strengthening, not lengthening. But anyway, these are my first exercises. So my first exercises were, you know, good toes, naughty toes, you know, back, trying to get them to point because my left leg had forgotten how to work. So I couldn't point much and I couldn't bring it up much and I couldn't do anything much. So this is what the physiotherapist said. Okay, you have to do your bad leg with your good leg. You have to do the good, isn't this right, Mrs. Physiotherapy? You have to do the good leg because your brain needs to remember that that's a foot and that's what foot is doing. You see, so my right foot is now my left foot teacher. And they meet up and they have lessons 3 or 4 times a day. And my right leg teaches my left leg what to do. This is what we have to do in the body of the Christ. The right part of the body needs to tell the left part of the body about the witnessing that we've done on the train, because then the next time that you're on the train, you'll go, oh, I wonder if the Holy Spirit could give me a conversation. That's why we need to say when we've been healed, because then when we're sick, we'll think, so-and-so was healed. I'm not just going to take paracetamol, but thank you, God, for all the medicines in the NHS. God bless the NHS. But I am also going to lean into you, Lord. When somebody has had a word of knowledge and suddenly had wisdom and strategy in their workplace, and they shared, do you know, I had this problem at work and I had no idea what to do, and I prayed and I asked my Christian friend at work to pray, and these people prayed, and I've suddenly got the strategy. Then you hear about that when you're struggling at work. What are you going to do? You're going to pray, because you know that God is interested in work. Why? Because he's interested in that person's work. He's surely interested in your work. We need the right leg to teach the left leg how to walk as a witness for Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to move. This is the Holy Spirit, all power, all able. And testimonies encourage an expectation for more. So when you're in your community groups and you're going around, you say, how's your week been? Oh, fine. Find more. Find more, because there was more. Find more to encourage more. The beautiful thing about being a witness is you just have to say what you saw. You just have to say what you hear. And you know, being a witness, it's not a platform ministry. It's not you need a microphone to be able to be a witness, to be able to speak something. Being a witness is a lifestyle choice. It's a decision. It's a decision to allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, rather than block him and say, no, don't speak through me. Being a witness is allowing the Holy Spirit permission to do what he wants to do. So that when you see somebody who is the equivalent of a beggar, and I'm not necessarily talking about the homeless community, but it might be. But when you see somebody who's trying to fix their own need themselves, you can say, I can't help you with that, but I can tell you what I saw on Sunday. I can't help you with that, but I can tell you what Jesus has done for me, and therefore he might do it for you. I can't help you about that, but I can give you this. Because there's so many things we're praying for and we're asking for, and Jesus just wants to say, do you know what? You don't need to worry about that, but I will give you power and you will be my witnesses. And if we would stop, and honestly, I ask for stuff for myself. It's not about we shouldn't ask for stuff for ourselves. But if we get locked up in me, myself, and I know this, I've had 6 months. Oh, it feels like 6 months. I don't know. When was I've had quite a long time to think about myself. But if we get locked up in this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me, we are just worrying about what we want God to answer our question. He's saying, okay, I'm not going to tell you that, but I will give you power of my Holy Spirit's presence within you, and you will be my witnesses. And I've got to tell so many people that I've ruptured my Achilles preaching. Why are you preaching? Well, I was in Africa. Let me tell you about the missions we do in Africa. Let me tell you about God. And you will be my witnesses. We're going to draw this to a close now, but so I wonder if the band could take your positions. I believe that today the Holy Spirit is here. I know he's here. He's been tangibly here from the beginning of the service and before, in fairness. I knew when I first arrived, just after 7:30, that the Holy Spirit was already purposing something in our gathering today. I believe we are meant to be sent out from here. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. I don't know if we go in reverse. Is the ends of the world Watford? I don't know. Do we start and then work backwards? But the Holy Spirit wants us to come as we are, but to put down the stuff that we hold to so importantly, the stuff that we wrestle with, and just says, temporarily, sweethearts, would you put those down? Because I'm not going to talk to you about this, but I want to give you power. Who goes to work tomorrow? Thank you, Jesus! Yeah. It's like a miracle has just happened. I forgot. I love my job. It's great working for the church. You've got to go to work. Come on, there's power available for Nikki. Okay. I'm taking a day off on Tuesday as well. That's just reminded me. Is anyone going to work on Tuesday? Okay. Is anyone going home and seeing people near where you live? Because some of you might live a very isolated life. I don't want to assume that some of you might, I don't know, transport to an island somewhere. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to give us power for where you're going, that you will be able to say what you see. Now, here's the challenge. What if you've not seen anything? What if you're not actually confident yet in Jesus? And you don't feel you've seen enough? Then first, he wants you to see him. First, he wants to reveal himself to you again. First, he wants to give you revelation of the Father, who is great and almighty and loving and kind and generous and merciful and present. First, he wants to show you the great and glorious wonders of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Then the Holy Spirit wants to fill you so that you can go and say what you see. So it's a win either way. You either get a revelation of the Father to be filled and sent out, or you get filled, reminded of the revelation of the Father and sent out. It's a win, right? Like, you come and go different because there's revelation and there's a filling of the Holy Spirit. So there is a verse that the believers pray just after the bit that Tusha read. And if we can find it on the screen, that would be great. It's Acts 4, verses 29 to 30. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to make this our prayer. So Acts 4. 29 to 30, it says this: give us, your servants, great boldness. Did you know boldness is in the motto of our town, by the way? Just thought I'd draw your attention to where we are planted. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. We're not talking about platform. We're just talking about speaking. Just speaking your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. Does everyone feel able to say that prayer and mean it? I wonder if you would stand with me. We're going to say this prayer together, maybe more than once, until we believe it and until the Holy Spirit is filling us and we can no longer contain ourselves and limit ourselves into these words. We have to worship in song because the Holy Spirit is flowing such that we have to. So let's start reading this together and see where the Holy Spirit takes us. Let's read. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. Let's read it again. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. One more time. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hands. Signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Amen. One more time. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let's worship and invite the Holy Spirit to keep moving in us.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you. And his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.